You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. Sam just sent me a note. Can't hear you. I didn't have my mic turned on. So this episode and the last three and the next two or three are celebrating an opening of a school. And it's called the School of Transformational Authorship. And I talked a lot about that the last times, and I'm going to talk about it more. But each time is not just talking about the fact that it's happening, but some real tools that you can use to create value, whether you're writing a book or not, or whether you're writing anything or not. I got a client and a friend and a couple of others who are really taking advantage of Substack right now. And they're digging in and creating followers and, creating a path of communication. And Substack is not new, but it's fairly new compared to some of the other social media. And there's a lot of fun. So we're starting on that, too. Take a look at our Substack. So the first thing I want to do is this episode today is sponsored by and brought to you by that school, the School of Transformational Authorship and Creation. And I call it Transformational Authorship because the way I do it with people, the curriculum in the school, as it were, is not just about organizing material and writing a book, but exploring deeply the growth, the transformation, which means, changing shape, that has happened to you because of your journey in life. And, it's interesting. This morning, I had a coaching call with a group that is finishing up one of last year's cohorts of people writing books. And the thing that I want to sponsor here is this dreambuildwriteit.com. Dreambuildwriteit. Now, that is an introduction to the School of Transformational Authorship. So it's just fitting that this morning was the final meeting, the final call of 26. So it went over 26 weeks, 6 months, for this one cohort. And each person in that cohort said something like that this journey of mining their lives and writing this book and figuring out what they had to say to the world and all that stuff was very transformational, meaning it changed them in substantive and meaningful ways. And by that, I mean positive ways, created more power, more joy, more fun, happy. And, in the expression of that, there was some emotion and tears and that sort of thing. And it was a fabulous thing, and it just makes me more and more excited about this one coming up. And so this is where I want you to go right now. If you have any idea that your life matters, that you have value, go to dreambuildwriteit.com, dreambuildwriteit.com. Go there right now and check it out. See what's there. And see if it resonates with you. It might call you like, hello, come join me. All right. It's not selling you anything. Dream, Build, Write It doesn't cost anything. So this is not a sales pitch, but it is an enrollment call. And the enrollment is to take advantage of the power that you have in your life. So today what we're going to talk about is how do you get that? How do you do that? Your grandpa, my grandpa, any grandpa, or in the Navajo and Hopi tribes, the elders, who were the women usually, would carry the wisdom of the tribe. And sometimes grandpa would tell stories from the olden days and stuff like that. And you and I might listen to those things, and they might be fun stories, but there also often is the opportunity for, pearls of wisdom, as it were. Wow, things that you learned. Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you did that. And think of it this way. You know, we look at the pyramids in Egypt or Stonehenge or some other amazing things that are big and heavy and huge, and we wonder how on earth, how on earth? And some people say, well, it's not on earth. Aliens did it. Okay, whatever. But let's assume for a minute that earthlings did it. You say, how on earth did they create that? Well, learning the things that are in the lives before us and in your own life is what we're talking about here, is a deep, deep source of power and wisdom. So what I want to talk about today is, how do you mine that? What is exactly the process to get gold out of your life? One possible title for today is finding, you know, spinning gold thread or finding gold nuggets in your life. You know what we mostly do? We look back at our lives and we hate the hard parts and we love the good parts. Sometimes we look back and say, you know, when that happened, whatever it is, bankruptcy, divorce, whatever, we say, I hate that and I hate them. And then later we say something like, you know, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Why would we change that? Why would we go from that was horrible, awful, to I love it and I wouldn't change a thing? I've done that a bunch of things in my life, and I'll bet you have too. So what is the difference? Well, I don't know what you're thinking the difference is, but let me give you some ideas, because this will be instructive about how to find more of that wisdom and gold in your own life, whether you use it to help yourself or whether you use it to help others by writing a book or creating a course or going to this Dream Build Write It Challenge and you know, joining us there. One exercise that I hear people do is they say something like this: write a letter to your younger self. Write a letter to your younger self and tell them something. And not always, but often it is encouragement. You know, don't give up. You're okay like you are. You will make it. You know, it's not as bad as it seems. Life is really okay. Those kinds of things, and sometimes there's very specific things that we have in mind to tell our younger selves. Well, I want you to think about that. What is it in your heart right now that if you wrote a letter to your 20-year-old self, I'm assuming you're not 20, if you're at least 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 like I am, man, if I got to write a letter to my 20-year-old self, there's all kinds of stuff that I'd tell that guy, all kinds of things. And it wouldn't be to protect him, so to speak, from mistakes or harm, but it would be to offer some insight, some wisdom that I have and that I know that you have from the life experience that you've had. So often when we do that, it's just haphazard. We don't really go through any kind of a structure to figure out what those nuggets of wisdom are, even though there might be 10 kilo bars of gold. So let's talk about how to do that. You know that those nuggets come from your experience. But the experiences alone don't give you the wisdom. We have to do something with the experiences. Because often when those things happen, negative things, illness or financial hardship or health or whatever, we're angry or we're frustrated or we scream at the sky, why me? It's not fair. You know, we complain about fairness or, you know, what did I do to deserve this or that, you know, that kind of thing. And that's kind of a natural reaction, but it never goes to a satisfactory place. Like you never get to a satisfactory conclusion. Why did this happen to me? Nobody ever answers this. And even if somebody does, we argue with them, right? Here's the first step in creating this wisdom that you would write into a letter to your younger self. And that is to reflect, to think about it. I know that sounds silly and trivial, but here's a way to think about it. Your memory stores events. Like stuff happens and you remember it. how you remember it is a choice. So I'll give you an example. When I was about 13, it was Christmas time. And my brother and I used to do chores around the house to earn money to buy Christmas presents, and we didn't have a lot. And so when we went and did our Christmas shopping, it was usually all in one night, and it was usually 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And we would ride our bikes up to the mall that was near our house, and we had a mall, yeah, in those days, a long time ago, and it's called Sun Valley Mall, and it's still there in Pleasant Hill, California. And before that, they built that mall. It was an onion field, my parents told me. I don't remember that. But I do remember them building the mall. And it was a typical mall. It seemed enormous to us. One end had Sears as an anchor store. In the middle, it had Macy's. And all the way at the other end, it had JCPenney. And there were two levels in the mall. Wow. And you could go all the way down in one level and all the way up. So we loved to go to the mall and go to the stores that had little things we could afford for, you know, different members of the family. There was also another store that wasn't in the mall, that was in a little bit different direction, that was about a mile or two away, mile and a half maybe, from the house. And I remember that particular time I was going to that store, and the name of it was White Front. And it had a big white sort of arc in front, not an arch like McDonald's, but an arc. And I was riding my bike just as fast as I could ride it, because I was in a hurry, and also because I loved the feeling of riding fast, I guess. Anyway, something happened, and suddenly my brakes... I had hand brakes, not coaster brakes. The brakes went into the front tire and immediately stopped the bike. And I went flying over the handlebars, and the parking lot at White Front, the entrance that I used, had a down ramp in it of about maybe 10 yards. It wasn't steep, but it was a down thing. So that down ramp gained me a little speed. Now, the store White Front was kind of like Kmart, which came later. There wasn't Kmart around, at least where we were yet, meaning it had an auto center and, you know, a big department store and bargain things. It was kind of a bargain store. And that's why we went there, because we didn't have a lot of money. And so we could buy good, you know, a lot of stuff for not a lot of money. So I went down that thing, my brakes fell in the front thing, locked against the front fork, and I went flying over the handlebars. And it was right in front of the auto center of White Front, which was right down that ramp. And the next thing I remember, I hit the ground on my chin. And the next thing I remember was I was sitting in the waiting room in the White Front auto center. You know, they have waiting room when they're fixing your car, where you pick it up or whatever. I had a towel on my chin, and I was spitting out teeth. So I broke some teeth, I landed on my chin, cut a great big gash in my chin, and I remember sitting there, and then pretty soon my parents came, and we went to the hospital and got some stitches. Now, here's the thing. That is the event. That's what happened. So what do I make out of it? Well, I don't make some great moral lesson out of that, but what I remember isn't the pain. What I remember isn't the terror of flying over the handlebars, even though I remember that. What I remember is the nice people taking care of me till my parents came. Towel on my chin, there I was, and, you know, still kind of out of it. And so I remember kindness. I remember someone helping someone in distress. And so that memory lands in me as a, hey, you know, when people get in trouble, go help them. Go do that. Go do what was done for you. So that's just a simple example, and it's something from a long time ago. The consequences lasted a long time, because some of the teeth that I broke in the back were permanent teeth. And so for a long time, I had a silver band around one of them with, you know, filled up with filling, and eventually I've gotten a cap on it and everything else. But it's going to be that way the rest of my life, obviously, because it broke part of a permanent tooth. So that's just a short little story and an example of making meaning out of an event. In the book, I wrote a book called The Story Arc, and this book has to do with this Dream, Build, Write It challenge that I really encourage you to go check out. But there's a process I put in the story arc about how to create meaning from big events in your life. So your memory, we store events. Meaning, or thinking about it again, reflecting on it, that extracts insight. And in the story arc, I have something called a developmental story matrix, which is a process that I developed about how to look at events in your life, right, and analyze them. And then there's four columns in it, and it tells you exactly how to think, or one way you could think about those difficult events. And they don't have to be difficult. They can actually be wonderful events, and take it right through the same four-step process to pull meaning out of those events. And so if you want to, the four columns are, I'll just tell them quickly, and if you're going to do it, you'll have to listen to this a couple of times and make some notes or get the story arc and go through this process. And I've had a lot of people tell me that this process has radically changed their lives. I've had them tell me to the extent that it has completely rewritten their relationship with the past because they actually sat and thought about it. So here's the four steps. Column one is very simple. Just write down the event. Column two is, in your memory, just write down, what did that event mean to me at the time? It can be anything. My parents got divorced in the eighth grade. Mine didn't, but that could be something. I broke my leg in the third grade. I didn't do that either, but I had a friend who did. Okay, it can be I had a bankruptcy. I did have that, not in high school, but later. You know, it can be any event, just the event itself, anything at all. The second column is, what did I think about that event then? So let's say, broke my leg in the third grade, missed a field trip, I was mad, I felt left out, I was really upset. Okay, that's column two. How did I feel then? Column three for each event is to say, okay, now that I look back at that event, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, 50 years later, what do I think about that event now? Now, if the column two and three are the same, in other words, if I feel the same today as I did 10 years or 20 years or whatever ago, then nothing has changed in me. But nearly all the time, how we feel, what we believe about those events today is way different than what we believed when they happened. So I'll give you a real example. For me, I had a bankruptcy, and it was some 30-something years ago, maybe 40, no, 30-something years ago. And it was difficult. That's column one, bankruptcy. Column two, I felt then I was scared. I felt shame. I felt dishonored, like I dishonored everybody. I felt like I cheated creditors, like there was a permanent black mark and stain on my life, and that it would follow me around forever. And I heard, you know, it stays on your credit report or whatever, 7 years. And 7 years seemed like 100 trillion years. And I knew, you know, okay, I'm 30 whatever when it happened in this many years. I knew that, but it didn't feel like that. So that's what I felt about it then. When I look back at it now, some 34 years later, I think it was in 92. So 34 years later, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. It taught me a lot of things. It taught me that there's mercy in the world. Now, sometimes it's imposed by laws. Some of the creditors never got paid and the debts were discharged. So that wasn't mercy for them. But I, you know, I didn't live in a world where I got thrown in jail until somehow I was able to create money to pay those debts. There's a structure in place that gave debt forgiveness. Now, some people misuse that, and I know all that, but I'm talking about your particular experience. So for me, looking at it now, I feel gratitude. I'm grateful I got to start over. It taught me about mistakes because I'd made some dumb decisions that led up to that event. I'd made some poor choices about money and finance, and I was trying to build a business at the same time, and I was reckless. And it ended up to where that was the only way out. I went, you know, got myself in trouble, and I went to see an attorney, and he said, you know, do this. And so I feel gratitude. I feel like I learned a lot, and there's real power, opportunity for growth from that particular experience. And I can make you a solemn promise right here, right now. If you take the time to use the story arc, use the developmental story matrix, and you look at your life, whether you've had a bankruptcy or not, whether you've had a relationship failure, whether you've had relationship success, whether you've had, you know, kids get very sick. I have a client who was on podcast guest several years ago, and we're almost at 6 years now, plus I think April will be our sixth anniversary for the podcast, not this show, but our Ultimate Life podcast. And one of the guests I had 3 or 4 years ago was a woman who had raised two boys and her husband, and it was a very, very functional, not dysfunctional family. And for some reason, the two boys had experiences in their lives that drove them to experiment with drugs, and they had terrifying addiction problems. And if you look at the circumstance from the outside, you know, there's no broken home, there's no this, there's no that. It all looks good. And so you could scratch your head and say, why did that happen? Well, that question may be useful, but that isn't the meat here. The meat is that woman who was on the show, she talked about not understanding what happened and about how it caused, at first, terrible consternation in her life. Like, what did we do wrong? How do we fix this? Oh, no. And, you know, back and forth emotionally, not knowing what to do. And then later, after they navigated that and did the best they could, like any concerned parent would do, they realized they had more patience. They had more tolerance. They were better able to understand other people's difficulties and therefore be more helpful and supportive. And consequently, the message that she shared on the show was one of hope and opportunity. And now her mission was helping other families with similar situations. A funny example of that is parents or people that don't have kids, right? So you go into a restaurant or a theater or a store or something or church or wherever, and you've got kids screaming, making noise, fussing, whatever. And those without kids, you know, are irritated and turn and look at them and think, how come you can't control your kids? And then 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years later, if they have kids, they're like, all of a sudden, there's this tremendous empathy and patience because they realize it's not anywhere near as simple as you'd like it to be or as you, as an unlearned younger person, you know, are blaming or cussing out these people over here. Those are all opportunities for learning. And what happens most of the time is people don't gather those learnings. So I'm challenging you right now. Gather the learnings. I can make you a promise. And I think I made one a minute ago, but here's another one. If you do the developmental story matrix that's in the story arc, it'll change your life. You will become more grateful. You will become more humble. You will become bolder. You'll make better decisions. You'll be more powerful and confident, I promise. And you can look at me and say, Kellen, how can you say such things? How do you even know that? You don't know me. I don't need to know you. I know you're human. I know you breathe air. And I know you're listening to a show called Your Ultimate Life. That right there tells me a lot about you, your heart, who you want to be, and the desire you have to create an impact in the world. And this mining, you know, I call it mining, like you mine gold or pan for gold or whatever. This mining for the gold in your life is one of the most awesome, powerful, meaningful, joyful things you can do. So again, I'm inviting you to go to dreambuildwriteit.com because we'll talk about that and I'll help you learn how to do this, and not just how to do it, but how to turn it in to a refined gold mine that you can use to create meaning for your own life, money, if that's your goal, and real impact in the world, like making a difference. And I know you wouldn't even be watching this show if making a difference wasn't high on your list. So when you go through and you create this developmental story matrix, I tell people to start with 20 events. Then you eventually you'll end up with hundreds. And what you'll find is that DSM, Developmental Story Matrix, will be the library for every speech you have to give, for every product you want to create, for every lesson you want to teach, for every workshop you need to create. I don't care what it's for. I don't care if it's for corporate stuff or you're talking about sales training. There is stuff in there that will apply, and it will be a permanent and endless gold mine. And that might sound like a bold promise, but you can't argue with me until you've done it. So go do the DSM deeply and fully. Start with 20 events and then create 50, 100. And pretty soon it'll be fun. Now, here's the fourth column. And this is the critical one. Column one is what happened. Column two is what you felt then. Column three is how you feel about it now. And column four is the gold. This is where your gold mine is. When you look at the difference between how you felt about an event, something that happened in your life, and usually the ones that we remember most are the bad ones, but when you look at the difference between how you felt and how you feel now, ask yourself this question. How could the difference that I note in my own life be of service or of benefit or of worth or of value to someone else? And very quickly, what will happen is you will start identifying core themes. You will start realizing what life forced you or invited you to learn. And invited is a better word than forced. I bet you know, I do, someone or maybe many someones who have the attitude of, I'll never forgive so-and-so. Now, the so-and-so might be God. It might be an uncle that did whatever they did. It might be a business partner that ripped you off $2 million. The feeling, I'll never flipping forgive that jerkwad as long as I live, that means that you are carrying a fountain of poison in your life. You are carrying an endless well of death. That all it does is scribble blackness on your soul. So that may be the choice. That may be what you learned, is never to forgive. And then you know, because you're experiencing it, you're going through with a well of bitterness in your soul. On the other hand, if you decide to forgive, whether they deserve it or not, it's got nothing to do with it. Forgiveness is for us, not for them. Okay? Even when you forgive yourself, like if you make mistakes and goodness knows I've made a boatload, we fix what we can. Of course we do. But the most important thing is change who we are so we're no longer that person, and then go about adding good to the world, doing all the good we possibly can. So when you think about finding wisdom in this process, you look at, what did life give me the opportunity or force me to learn? And I don't like the force part because, like I said, you can stay bitter or angry. You all know, if you've listened to many episodes, that I died in 2018. So we're coming up this year on 8 years ago in June. I could be bitter about that and the illness that came and being in a coma for, you know, X days, 3 weeks. I could be bitter about that and remain that way. And some people are forever. Instead, I've chosen to learn from it, to treat it as a gift and to lean into it and love it. So life didn't force me into one or the other. It did force me to make a choice because I got sick. I was in the hospital, got very sick, died, and then was in a coma for 3 weeks. So it gave me a stark slap and an opportunity to learn, but the learning is our choice. And this is where the gold sits, because most people go through things. Wow, I got through that. Glad I got through that. Hope that never happens again. And they don't spend any time thinking about the value from the experience. And you could say, well, there's no freaking value in pain and suffering. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. If you and I are willing to go get it and find it and use it instead of staying bitter at life, at God, at the neighbor, at the bad person that did whatever, instead of that. Now, what I promise you, you'll notice as you look at column four, when you write down, you look at the difference between column three and two, how I feel now versus how I felt then, you'll start noticing core themes. Okay? You'll start noticing, wow, there are recurring themes of forgiveness or of courage or of failure and how you handled failure or of fear or of love or of power or of identity. Lots of other words. You'll notice there are some core themes, and you'll say to yourself, you know, I see that in my own growth, my own journey through life, I have repeatedly demonstrated resilience. I have repeatedly demonstrated the ability to love, even in horrific circumstances. I have repeatedly demonstrated the ability to forgive. Wow, this is who I have become. These themes that keep showing up in your life, they form the backbone of a meaningful story. And I say, what story? I'm not talking about a memoir where we write a, you know, sob story accusing other people, saying, poor me, or a story of, wow, look what I overcame. Aren't I cool? None of that crap. Please don't hear this as an invitation to do any of that. What it is, I call it your story of becoming. Because today, this Tuesday, January 20th, if you look at yourself and you know in your heart, you're a loving person. You have the ability to forgive. You can encourage people even when it's hard. You stand up and keep going no matter what. I had a client the other day that I was talking to, and right this minute, she's going through some very difficult things that just keep happening. This challenge and that challenge and this thing didn't work out and that thing. And every time I talk to her, I am in awe of her awesomeness. And we talked about it. And, you know, she said, I'm just not going to quit. I'm just not going to quit. Well, you're not born that way. That is a thing that she has learned through repeated exercise of that difference between column two, how I felt then, column three, how I feel now. And when you look at all the meaning, how could I use that difference to bless someone, to encourage them, to teach, to coach, to, you know, do whatever it is? You'll see those repeated themes. I have another fellow that just reached out to me today to be on a podcast and this show, and I'll bet you he's a guest. And if he comes on, he will come on in the next few weeks, and you'll get a chance to hear the story in real life. So he's had 20 years in, you know, corporate stuff, fairly high-level positions, Harvard grad, MBA and all that sort of thing, mergers and acquisitions and, you know, high finance and everything else. And when he looks at the events of his life, his column four, although he hasn't officially done the story arc, but he's done this process in another way. You know what his learning is, one of his consistent learnings? That leadership needs to be fueled by love. And so in hardcore, burn them down, high finance stuff, he's saying, hey, that doesn't work. That wrecks people. It wrecks companies. It even wrecks bottom lines. You might get short-term gain and, you know, create your own legend like Wall Street guy or whatever. But at the end of the day, there's misery, pain, loneliness, sadness, pills, unfaithfulness, suicide. And, you know, you guys all know the drill, right? So his learning is, I'm going to lead from love. And now, where he's gone with that after this long career, in this other cutthroat world. He said, no, I'm going to be a CEO, and he now has a position as a leader of a company. And his thrust, and he's writing some books, and if when he comes to be a guest, he'll get a chance to talk about those, and I'm excited, about creating leadership from a place of love, honor, respect, seeing the best in people, trusting them, creating an atmosphere of collaboration. And his results are astounding. So that comes from doing the kind of analysis of your own life that I'm talking about. So let's talk for a minute really quickly about that process again, and then we'll talk about what to do with it. Because after you understand it, you're going to be really excited about what your possibilities are. So part one, remember, just having things happen to you doesn't create a powerful story. Reflecting on it and choosing to find the meaning, that creates power. There's a structure. Part two is there's a structure in the book, the story arc, that is not the only way, but it's the best way I know of to get these nuggets of gold out of your life story. And that's to analyze each event, how I felt then, how I feel now, look at that difference, and then discern or choose how that growth that you've exhibited would be valuable for someone else. And then you go through your stories and you say, wow, there are recurring and repeated patterns here that I see over and over. And that is your core strength. Those repeated patterns, the themes of resilience or honesty or forgiveness or courage or dealing with failure or illness or overcoming fear or choosing to love. You know, there's many themes, and you'll find that multiple themes emerge from you. Then the question is, okay, what am I going to do when you look at your own life and you say, wow, look what I have become? That's a powerful realization. And again, it is not to get a medal and say, yay, look at me. It is to choose to be in service. Because if you want to make meaning and impact and money, I can make you another promise. The way to make the most impact in the world, the most money, and have the most fun is to serve furiously with the experiences of your life. Your divine gifts, the skills, and your life experience. Write that down. Your skills, those are the things you've learned to do. The gifts, those are the things you naturally do well. And this list of things that you've learned from the school of hard knocks, life experience. And most people take that school of hard knocks and curse at it. You instead choose to bless it and turn it into the backbone of the story of your becoming. Now, what I want to go to now as the last theme that we're going to talk about here, maybe there's one other one, is this. After you have that list of themes that come through in your life, from that you choose a purpose. Okay? It's one thing to just randomly go about trying to help people or be a better dad or mom or be a good employer or employee. That's great. There's nothing wrong with those things. Commendable. But it's nowhere near the difference you could make. And I know you wouldn't be watching this show if you didn't have a desire to change the world in some fashion, either a little or a lot. You know, from listening, my goal is to bring 300 million people to listen and understand their own worth, identity, possibility, ownership, sovereignty. Somebody asked me the other day what I do for the millionth time. I described it a new and different way. I said, I help you pull out your superpower and change the world. And you know, they laughed. It's funny. But that's it, because you have a superpower. You may not know what it is. You may not care. But I'll bet you do. And if you want to find it, go through this process. And if you want me to help you, get a hold of me. DreamBuildWriteIt.com. 4 weeks after this week. 4 weeks, we're going to do this. Free challenge. You'll get a chance to find your superpower. When you do that, what you're going to discover is you have a purpose. Now, finding this life purpose often sounds like some kind of a joke. People say to me, I can't even count the number of times, Well, I wish I knew what my purpose was. I haven't found it yet. You don't find it. You don't go on a safari. You don't go dig it up in the yard. You know, it's not on a, we're going to go on a jungle safari, or I'm going to go do a ayahuasca retreat. I have another friend who's done like 30 of them. And I keep wondering in my mind, and I've asked several times, it's not an active client, but a past one, like, what's the point? If you receive the great enlightenment and you need another one and another one and another one and another one ad infinitum, you do not find a purpose. You choose one. Often it comes from your life experience. So you and I have both heard stories. Someone takes a trip. They travel somewhere and they see places where there's no clean water. And they see people suffering in some way and they say, I'm going to fix that. And so that is a choice. The experience brought them to a place. Choosing a purpose is an active thing that you or I do on purpose. Okay? And the way often it comes, like that trip for that person, comes from your life experience. Now, my purpose to pull out of your heart your superpower and help you change the world, that has come from my life experience. Because I've had to do that for me. I lived for decades with untreated depression, and it trashed my life. Drugs and addictions and ruined things in my life. And that happened over and over and over and over again. So, and then in overcoming that, in looking at my own developmental story, you know, that story of my becoming, I realized if I had known what I know now earlier, I wouldn't have done some of those things. But I still wouldn't change them. Because why? Because it has changed who I am. It makes me love more deeply. Like I tell you guys all the time, I love you even though you're not here. It makes me genuinely feel that. It makes me yearn for your growth, for your purpose, prosperity, and joy. Right? And so my purpose is to pull out your superpower, help you find it, own it, choose it, and then change the world. Create wealth, income, and meaning. Now, we're free to live in obscurity. We're free to do nothing much. We're free to live in the lie that says, I'm just one person. I can't do anything. Nobody gives a crap what I think or do. It's never going to be true unless we make it true. And we choose to live all shriveled up and small, then it's going to be true because we chose it true. I've said this quote before, but Nelson Mandela, at least in one place, is reputed to have said, someone said to him, how did you survive? He was imprisoned for 27 years in South Africa in the place of apartheid before he finally, you know, got out and he became the president and all kinds of stuff and did enormous, meaningful, impactful stuff. Someone asked him, how did you survive all those 27 years? And he said, I wasn't surviving. I was preparing. That was a choice that he made about how to look at that difficult situation. So if you think about a line on his developmental story matrix, 27 years is a long time to put on one line, so there's probably many. But when he got to column 4, how that could benefit others, how the difference in his growth, you know, then and now could benefit others, he chose to see it as preparation, patience, perseverance, forgiveness, power, conviction. All of those things were prepared in him, and you can bet your life the guy, before he had that experience, and after he had that experience, is a completely different guy. You know that without even thinking. So when you think about your purpose, can you write your purpose down on a single line? If I spent an hour with you and we were talking, would I absolutely come away knowing for sure who you were and what you were about? And if not, why not? Is it because you haven't chosen a purpose? Is it because you haven't committed your life to add good to the world? in whatever way fits for you. I challenge you to do that. And the reason I keep mentioning this dreambuildwriteit.com, sponsored by, you know, the Transformational School of Authorship and Creation, the reason I keep mentioning that is because this is a place to start. It's dedicated to you. I'm going to help you. Mind your life, find your story, choose your purpose, figure out how you can make income, impact, and create life meaning from that story. So today we've gone over thoroughly how to do that. If you want more help, here it is. The story arc is the best system that I've ever seen, and I've looked at many, many, many storytelling processes, and it's not about storytelling. It's about analyzing the events of your life and figuring out how you can use them to serve. Because when we serve, we get wealthy. We get wealthy in cash. We get wealthy in spirit. We get wealthy in joy. And that's the ultimate life stuff I keep talking about all the time. So here's what I want you to think about. This is the fourth of these episodes. The fifth one's coming. And here's what the fifth one is about. Next time we're going to talk about this. And, you know, if I have to interrupt it because I've got good guests, then I will. But the next time we're alone, and I'm with you alone, we're going to talk about how to tell your story. Because this story arc is about how to find it. How to find it by analyzing your life in the way that I just taught you. And then there's a way to tell it, because sometimes people tell stories to get sympathy. Oh, I want you to feel how bad I had it. And then we get in contests of, oh, yeah, you know what happened to me? Oh, yeah, you know what happened to me? You know, it's like fish stories. Oh, yeah, I had one that was 2 feet. No, 3 feet. No, 27 feet. I have been so big it sank the ship. You know, no, we're not doing that. So then the question comes and will come, and this is what we're going to talk about next time. How do you tell the story, the developmental story of your life, in the right place, to the right people, and tell it in a way that is truly of service to them and not just making you look like you toughed it out and did an amazing thing? When we get done with the story, those listening should feel, wow, I can do that. I'm inspired. I'm going to go change the world just like you did. If we get out of the story and they're thinking, okay, that guy did cool stuff, but man, he's so full of himself, we can't stand to be around him. I'm surprised his head fits through the door. Any version of that, then we've blown the opportunity and we've messed up the moment that we could have used to lift and bless someone's soul. The truth is, you are a light. Is it turned on? You are fire for someone's heart if you choose to light it and use it. What we've talked about today is how to find your fire, how to find that purpose, because it exists in your life. You and I, we're not going to find a purpose in somebody else's experience. It doesn't go deep enough. We can witness or hear movie, book, story of someone else's life, and it's not going to light you up because it wasn't yours. Now, if it's a family member and you helped care for them and you're deeply involved, then it is your story. You don't have to be the one with the difficulty or the affliction or whatever, but it's still your story. Anything that you didn't bleed for isn't going to be enough fire to light your purpose. So here's what I want to invite you to do. First of all, go to dreambuildwriteit.com. Sign up. Second of all, get the story arc. Not because I care about selling books. I sell lots of those. It's because I want you to mine your life for your superpower, because with that superpower, with that thing that only you own, that is uniquely yours no matter what, you have the tool, you have a bucket of gold in your hand. You have a tool that's irreplaceable, that can't be duplicated and that nobody else has. A tool that lets you add good to the world. A tool that lets you live with purpose. Create prosperity and have constant joy. I know that's true because I live that way. It wasn't always so, but I have come there. And my mission in this challenge, Dream, Build, Write It, with this show and with everything that I do, is to give you everything that I've learned and help you to live your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.